You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bear Bets is back, NFL edition. Myself, Jeff Schwartz, Sammy P. Will Hill joining us for the gambling group chat in a little while. A game in Germany last week certainly didn't disappoint there early on Sunday.
No, it didn't. Yeah, the Chiefs are an ugly 7-2, but I'll take it as a Chiefs fan. 7-2 is 7-2, man. Defense is incredible.
Yes, because looked early on like the Chiefs might run away with it, and then some of the decisions by some of these players. Why are you catching a punt on your own 2-yard line and not letting it go into the end zone?
It seems to be a thing lately where punt returners are just catching balls inside the 5 all over the sport, not just in the NFL. It happens in college football. Yeah, I mean, I don't understand what Hardman was doing there. But, you know, the Chiefs are interesting, right? Because their defense is better than ever before. I mean, this is the best defense Andy Reid has had. I mean, 2013 was a good defense, but he's never had, you know, the Super Bowl year in 19, the second half of the year was much better. Obviously, last year was getting better, but his defense now is carrying the team, which I never thought I'd say about an Andy Reid Chiefs team. The defense is legitimately good. And so they're sort of getting away with making mistakes like fielding a punt right there. They're getting away with the refusal on third down to ever quarterback sneak ever, and just run some nonsense play that they think is going to work. And so they need to work through their offensive line hasn't played as great recently. Obviously the wide receiver issue is a problem, but when you're 7-2, you're Kansas City. And the thing you have to work on is your offense. I think you feel okay about that. And on the flip side, the Dolphins are definitely not a Super Bowl contender. Like they're probably what, 6th best in the AFC now, right? Chiefs, Bengals,
Ravens.
Ravens, I put the Jaguars ahead of them.
See, I don't.
Is Buffalo ahead of them?
No.
Buffalo beat them 48-20.
I wouldn't put Buffalo ahead of them. I think that was just a perfect storm type of game.
And not Jacksonville, huh?
No, I'm not there with Jacksonville.
We're going to argue about Jacksonville later in this show.
Guys, I think we will.
If you're ready for that.
And of course, the NFL is unpredictable. It's so predictable game last week. Minnesota 31, Atlanta 28.
I'll tell you.
Did we not say that was coming, or did we not say that was coming?
I know it's now Friday. I'm going to give Josh Jobs some props because what he did last weekend was incredible.
Crazy.
For those who maybe missed it, if you're living under a rock, Josh Jobs was traded to the Vikings on Tuesday at the trade deadline because Kirk Cousins got hurt. He was not supposed to play in this game. Jaren Hall gets hurt and he comes in the game. Now, what happens during a practice week is the starting quarterback gets all the reps. There's not a lot of reps.
Right.
They get all the reps. Now, maybe if the guy's super old, you give 2 reps to someone else. But for the most part, the starting quarterback gets all the reps. So Jaren Hall got all the reps. He gets knocked down the first quarter. In comes Josh Dobbs, who has not played for the Vikings before, who's not played in this offense before. He's on the sidelines doing the cadence with the offensive lineman, learning what the cadence is. He comes in the huddle and he said, I had to ask players what they're doing on this specific play. Now, with the communication system there, you know this, the coach can talk to the quarterback up to 15 seconds before the play clock. So he can say, hey guys, you know, hey we're running all go special. Here's what every guy's doing. But that's not enough time sometimes to explain it. And he went out and won the game and kicked ass doing so. Like, it was an incredible performance by Dobbs. He has made himself 10 years of NFL wealth for this. Like, he will play forever now because he is trusted in the situation. Now, is it going to go great this week against New Orleans? I don't know. But I know in that spot, he led a comfort line victory, not knowing his teammates' names, not knowing the snap count. Dude, so impressed by his professionalism and to figure it out.
Now, it was... it was great to see. And you're right. Like those backup quarterback, like a Chase Daniel, who just hangs around in the league for a long time. And you know, if you got to play a game with them, you're going to be okay.
And that's the thing, right? So being a backup, I've been a backup. I actually played, Chase Daniel started 5 games. I played a game with him where he started in Kansas City in 2013. We had clinched the wild card spot. He started week 17 for us. Is like being a backup is about being reliable, right? It's like, if they put you in the game, are you just going to do your job? It might not be perfect, right? It's not going to be perfect, but like, can you give us a winning effort? Can you go in there and not make mental mistakes? Can you move? And that's like what Chase Daniel has done and what Josh Dobbs has done. And Josh Dobbs, I argue, is almost better than that, right? And all they want from a backup is reliability. Are you accountable? Are you reliable? And Josh Dobbs is doing that, man. He'll have a job forever. Are the Vikings a playoff team with him, though? In the NFC, probably, right?
I was going to say, in the NFC, with...
If they beat the Saints this weekend, they'll have 6 wins, right? With that defense and
how bad the NFC is?
They'll have 6 wins if they win this weekend. Yeah.
There are people out there that are... Pushing Kevin O'Connell for coach of the year.
If they make the playoffs.
And maybe even like saying that. Josh Dobbs has a chance to win comeback player of the year. But still, I was on DeMar Hamlin died on the field.
I have DeMar Hamlin as comeback player of the year too. I took him at like -300. Whatever it was.
He played a game. He's the comeback player of the year.
He's played one game this year, as we know.
I don't care.
I have DeMar Hamlin money too. I'm with you. I have it as well.
That's nothing to do with me having money on it either. he died on his heart stopped on the field.
He should win comeback player of the year.
And he's on the roster and he's played.
Correct. People have short memories. If Josh Dobbs leads the Vikings back to the playoffs, I would not be surprised if some of the votes went to Josh Dobbs. Does it make it right? Does it make it what I would do? But, I mean, I don't know. People have short memories. If DeMar Hamlin plays more, and he's, you know, I think maybe he has, again, I have money in DeMar Hamlin. She should be the winner. There's no doubt about it. He did die on the football field. Yes. And he's come back, and he's playing. It was good to see him. Obviously, you know, Bengals and the Bills was an emotional scene for him. Last week, Bengals get that win, which I think we both called. The Bengals are playing good football, man. They're back. They're all the way back. And we're back with wagers for Mr. Bear over here. Only 2 in the NFL. Shorter slate. We'll have our best bet in our group chat in a little bit. Let's start off with the game in Los Angeles. The Lions are 6-2. Chargers are getting 3 points, total 40.5. Lions are 6-2. They're well rested after a bye. They're also 6-2 against the spread. Chargers are 4-4 after a Monday Night Football win over the Jets. They've covered 4 of their 8 football games. Where are you going here?
I just don't. And if people have like a recency bias, and people remember seeing the Chargers look awful on Monday night against the Jets, which they were.
Still
the Jets
won were, by 21.
And they won. But people love the Lions.
Yeah.
I think it just goes back to the Hard Knocks last year. They love Dan Campbell and the rah-rah and just, I think they're good, but I don't know if they're like, you look at the win, Atlanta, Green Bay, Carolina, Tampa, Raiders. Yes, they did win in Kansas City the first game of the year. It's an opening Thursday night game. So like that stuff happens. Like, I don't think the Chargers are an elite team by any means. But I don't think we're to the point where they should be a home underdog to the Lions.
Here's my question about this game for you. So Lions are off a bye.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers play Monday Night Football on the East Coast.
Yep.
Is there a little bit of this, like Lions come out fast? Because I think Lions first half is a decent wager here. And can the Chargers withstand being down 14-0 if the Chargers, if the Lions come out and blitz them off that bye? Can they come back in this game?
Yeah, I think they can.
Okay. Yeah, because I think the Lions do start fast because they're off the bye, though. It's a good coaching staff. They're going to have something on offense, I think.
Lions?
Yeah, for the Chargers.
You would think so. And hopefully their offensive line will hold up against a good Chargers patch up, because certainly the Jets' embarrassment of an offensive line.
What is it about the Chargers? Like, I just watch them play, and I'm like...
It's like the sum of the parts doesn't equal...
It makes no sense. I want someone to be hired to help Justin Herbert out. Help my guy out.
Even though I think there's some he's playing hurt. Like, he's clearly
the finger that's he can't fall. He's like fall down weird because he doesn't want to hit his finger. Yeah, you think so? All right. Let's get your other game before we get to Gamma Group Chat and in our best bet later. Commanders plus 6.5 at Seattle. Four, total is 45.5. Commanders are 4-5 overall. They're 4-4-1 against the spread. The Commanders just won and covered in New England. Seattle is 5-3. They're 4-3-1 against the spread. Just got blown out by the Ravens, 37-3. Where are we going here?
And it wasn't that close.
No, it wasn't.
And usually teams that get blown out and embarrassed come back with an inspired performance. But I'm not, some people have the Seahawks team like a fringe top 10 team or maybe in the top 10, like in there. Like, I don't see it. I don't think Seattle is good at all. Like, the offensive line is bad. It's led to a predictable Geno Smith regression off of the absolute fluke completion percentage year that he had last year. Even the wins before the blowout, I mean, they should have lost to the Browns, P.J. Walker on the home field. The Cardinals win in Arizona wasn't like inspiring. Like, I'm not there. Like, Washington's been in nearly every game that they played. Yeah. Like a couple of one score losses to the Eagles, easily could have beaten the Eagles. Like, I think they'll hang around here as well. I think Cal can have success against that defense. And I think 6.5 here, even on the road, is the way to go.
Sam Howell's been feisty the last couple of weeks, as we've seen. He can put the ball down the field, which is nice. They have the ability, especially if they're behind in games, to come back because of their wide receivers. But your thoughts about Seattle are spot on, right? I mean, they have not played a good month of football. Lost the Bengals in a game in the red zone. We talked about this for weeks now. Yeah. They should have won that game. Come home and barely cover against Arizona, who's not any good anymore. The Browns, they come back from high. PJ Walker was all they did was scream to death.
Yep.
And then they got their butts kicked last weekend. So I'm with you on the Commanders here, plus 6.5. So the two wagers so far for Bear, Chargers plus 3, and the Commanders plus 6.5. We'll talk more about all the games in the slate. MVP odds, comeback player of the year odds, defensive player of the year, all those things that happen to do with the NFL and the gambling group chat. It's going to be Bear, Will Hill, Sammy P, and myself. Here's a group chat.
Gambling group chat is back. Myself, Sammy P, Will Hill, and my co-host Jeff Schwartz here. Thumbing down the NFL slate this week, it is coin flip central in a lot of these games, and I guess the game of the week would have to be the game in Jacksonville between the Niners and the Jaguars. Looks like Deebo Samuel will be back. Does not look like Trent Williams is back, and kind of hints that he's a little more injured than just a little bit of a high ankle sprain. But the Jaguars currently a 3-point home dog. I'm actually buying in. I'm hoping that the idle week and Deebo coming back and maybe Chase Young will help that Niners defense a little bit. I laid the 3 with the Niners. Will, any thought on this game?
Yeah, I want no part of it. You mentioned this is the best game maybe to watch, the most important game, the sexiest matchup. This is, to me, the worst game to bet. I have no feel. Like, I don't want to step in front of San Francisco off 3 losses, off of a bye. I don't want to step in front of them, but Jags getting 3. You know, I could make a case for them. You don't have to bet every game on the board. To me, this is a pretty easy pass.
Like the over in the game, I think, you know, 45 is fair. Depending on when you listen to this, I think you could bet over 45. These are clearly two of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league, and I know we're going to talk about Trevor Lawrence in a little bit, but I give San Francisco's offense more of an edge off the bye because that sort of looked a little bit broken. Bear, you mentioned, you know, the injuries. They haven't had Trent or Deebo for a while, but I think the correctables in San Francisco are offensively and not defensively. And then you look at the way that this number opened, like right over 44. It opened 44.5, like not 44, 44.5. Got hit the 45, and I think this could keep running. So I do think we get some points here, and I like Lawrence and Purdy to both, you know, get several touchdowns.
We'll debate this game in a few minutes, me and you, but I just say I think people are sleeping on how good Jacksonville actually is. They're obviously 6-2. They're off a bye as well, guys. Doug Peterson has done well as a coach off a bye, so they have the same sort of prep time that San Francisco does. I think the Jags have played 19, 20 straight games, right? And they've lost 5 and 3 against Kansas City. Like they're winning a lot of their football games. They're a good football team. And I think that we're discounting Jacksonville here. I was shocked to see them getting 3 points this game. I think they're just as good as San Francisco, and I have no problem taking them off a bye.
You think they are just as good as San Francisco? Interesting.
They're good, man. All they just continue to win football games the time. Well, we're discounting them because they're in Jacksonville and they're in the AFC South.
Well, if they are this good,
and they do win this week. One of the viewers, listeners chimed in on Trevor Lawrence potentially to be the MVP. I mean, we talked about Joe Burrow last week and the previous week. Like, let's get ahead of that. Random question for us and the gambling group chat. Yeah. Hear me out. Trevor Lawrence for MVP has to be bet this week, right? Second in the AFC, no quarterback really running away with it, just outside the top 10 and all the passing stats. So like, you got Hurts, Mahomes, and Lamar all right there at the top in terms of like the favorites slash co-favorites for the award. Like, I guess he's got a point. Like, if you're going to bet Lawrence, you kind of have to do it this week, right, guys?
If they win, he could go to 10-1. I mean, depending on how he plays, right? I mean, if he goes out and throws for 350, three touchdowns, and Jacksonville wins, those odds could get cut in half for sure. I mean, I guess let me just say this. If you like the bet, like whoever tweeted that out, bet it. You know, like clearly you're onto it. You like that Jacksonville has a nice little path here to win this game, and clearly they do. My only, you know, advice would be if they lose, this thing is dead. You know, he's not winning it if they don't win this game.
Yeah, I think the key thing in that tweet is nobody's pulled away. It's a wide open race. It's going to be determined in the second half of the year. You know, Lamar, he's had injury issues. Mahomes doesn't have the great weapons around him. You can always give it to Mahomes. He won it last year, so there's some fatigue there. Hurts has been good. I don't think he's been great. So yeah, it's wide open. Lawrence, you mentioned Burrow last week at 20-1. I'm kicking myself for missing that because that's down to 7-1, 9-1 in some spots. So you also don't want to get in the habit. Like it depends. I would say it depends what you've already bet. You don't want to, I'm going to bet this guy this week, and you end up with like, you know, seven or eight guys. You're betting somebody different every week. But if you have nothing in pocket, like I could certainly make a case Lawrence at 20-1. It's not like it's a, you know, it's a donation or anything. It certainly has a chance. Two has definitely come back to the pack. I'd have a hard time seeing him win the award. So yeah, it's wide open.
I do. I agree. So I don't even know if he's the most valuable player on his own team. I think that's an issue right there. Jeff,
I just think that if you look at Trevor Lawrence, is he going to end up being better this season than the rest of the quarterbacks in the AFC conference, right? Mahomes, who we know that, look, I trust the Chiefs eventually to start playing better on offense. You know, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, like is Trevor Lawrence at some point, is Jacksonville at some point going to be the first or second or third seed in the AFC to where he's going to win that? He's not going to win the MVP as the fourth seed in the AFC conference, right? So that has to be considered in this as well.
I would agree with that as well. One thing we've kicked around a lot for whether it's right or wrong and maybe people are ad nauseum with, but like the Cardinals, why are we talking about the Arizona Cardinals? But like, does Kyler Murray being back really move the needle for you? You could still get under 3.5 wins at plus money out there. Like, Will, are they really going to win three games over the course of the rest of the season, even if Kyler Murray on this terrible team is the quarterback? Like, for me, like if Clayton Tune was quarterback, they weren't winning another game. But does Kyler Murray coming back mean they're going to win three more? Isn't under 3.5 at plus money still a pretty good bet?
I sure as hell hope they don't win three more because I'm invested on the under here. I'm nervous that he brought him back. I would bet the under. I wouldn't bet the over again. This is one where I've already bet plenty on it, so I'm not going to bet more. I don't get, like, to the bigger point, though, I don't get what the point of this is. You're going to win an extra game or two and knock yourself out of the running for the number one pick, and then you're going to be picking maybe, I don't know, third where you can't draft a quarterback. I just don't get this one foot in, one foot out. It seemed like this was just a blatant tank. They're trading guys left and right. It's a terrible team. And, you know, halfway through the season, all right, here comes Murray. He's ready to play. This is very surprising to me. I don't really understand what the point of this is.
Yeah, this is like organizational malpractice. Like, yes, you've done basically halfway through the season, you've done your job. You are, what, 1-8 through 9 games. And now you want to bring the quarterback that actually gives you a chance to win games. You want to bring him back right now so you might win 3 or 4. Like, it doesn't make sense. You are so close to a number one or number two pick, and now you want to bring Kyler back? It doesn't make any sense to me. But then again, we've seen stupider stuff in this league, that's for sure.
I agree with you guys about this. I just think from the Arizona perspective, here's what they're thinking. I'll tell you what they're thinking. One is that maybe that contract is untradeable, right? So if they bring in a young quarterback, Murray has to be there for one or two more years anyway. So what's the point of taking a quarterback at number one who can't play for a couple of years, or he plays and then you have a disgruntled Kyler Murray sitting behind him? That's one possibility. The other one is that you have a new head coach there, obviously in Gannon, and he wants to see Kyler Murray play. He wants to evaluate Kyler Murray for himself before deciding whether or not to move on. But again, if you win too many games, and I think you say to yourself, well, he's our guy, but he's obviously not better, in my opinion, than Drake May or Caleb Williams. So then you lost yourself out on a franchise elite transcending talent in May or Williams. So I think it's a lose-lose for the Cardinals. If you win enough games where Kyler Murray's your guy, I don't think he's better than those two guys. And, you know, if you win one or two games, you realize Kyler Murray is not your guy, then you're not in a position to draft one of these guys next season. So from that perspective, I don't really understand what they're doing. They're not thinking ahead, which has cost a lot of teams the ability to draft game-changing quarterbacks.
And God forbid he gets hurt and they owe him, what is it, $60 million or whatever, something like that. I get it, but I don't. So that being said, who's hopping on board to lay a point and a half with the Falcons this week?
Man, that team drives me nuts. I need them over 8.5. I need 9 wins. And, you know, you can make a case that, you know, in the 4 games that have been decided in the final, you know, 5 minutes or whatever, they could be 4-0 or they could be 0-4. I'd love to know for sure if Drake London was in. I think he's going to play. The receiver missed last week. I think he's going to be back. But, man, that Arthur Smith is maddening. And, you know, that was like the sexiest name in Vegas going into the season for coach of the year. And he has done nothing but like hinder that offense inside the red zone. It's maddening. So I need him to win, but I'm not betting that crap. No way.
They were so good during the summer, too. That was everybody's favorite team. And look, sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. I know, Barrett, you and I didn't kind of buy in. Like, everyone loved the Falcons. Like, is Desmond Ridder not still the quarterback? I know, you know, they got talent. I know the schedule is easy, but that's one where I didn't get that. That and the Green Bay love over the summer. Sometimes, I don't know if it's groupthink. I don't know. Maybe it's just people that they have an opinion. Look, not like I get everything right, but that was one that surprised me all summer. Everyone loved
sure
Atlanta. That number got bet up and up and up. It's crazy.
The reason why is people get bored continually mentioning the teams they like as the same teams each year. It's boring to say, I like the Eagles and 49ers, right? So you try to find yourself.
The Chiefs will be good.
The Falcons love. Yeah. But I will say, guys, to me, the preseason is very simple. Who's your quarterback, right? It was Desmond Ridder. Now it's Heinicke. Maybe they go back to Ridder at some point. That's why I wasn't on the Falcons. Like, you have a bad quarterback. Yeah. I'm not going to be on your team winning a lot of games this season. Maybe look to the NFC South and say, look, Derek Carr. I think all 4 of us are high on Derek Carr, but he's better than what Atlanta has. Obviously, the Panthers, I was wrong about them. I thought that'd be much better. And then Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield. So many people looked at Atlanta and thought, hey, this is our chance to take Atlanta. They have some good weapons around Ridder, but obviously he's not good. Arthur Smith is not a good head coach right now.
Yeah, I think Heinicke has like an expiration label on him where ultimately he'll be put to the sideline again. And then
he's a backup, Bear. He's up and down. That's why backups don't get starting jobs. They're not consistent.
I think we can all agree that the Falcons quarterback in 2024 is currently not on the roster. The starting quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I would think that's the case.
I could tell you what I thought. Sammy, though. I mean, just to counter what Will said quickly, like with the whole, you know, Atlanta situation. Like, I did this last year with the Giants because I believed in Brian Daboll. It wasn't so much a belief in Daniel Jones. I just thought Brian Daboll was going to figure everything out. And he did last year, and they have regressed completely this year. So I think it was it was more belief in the coach and the system than it was in the quarterback, because I didn't bet the over on the Giants last year because I love Daniel Jones. I bought the hype on the coach. I was right last year. I was wrong this year.
I'm glad you said the Giants, because I've looked all over, because I would love to play like an under 2.5 win total on the Giants, because with Tom, they're not winning another game this year. Like, and I've looked around a couple of books, and there are no updated win totals for the Giants. I'm sure maybe in some other areas throughout the country that you can get it under a win total. But I know the couple that I have access to in Connecticut, like, there's nothing up. But like, who are they beating the rest of the year, Will?
They don't play Brown, do they? Sammy's team. I mean, I don't know what. No, they're not winning another game.
They don't play USC. They don't play USC either.
No, it's going to be probably be the best thing for him. It's funny. It's sort of ironic where Giants fans have defended Daniel Jones. Hey, he's our franchise quarterback. He's our guy. Him not playing well, him getting hurt, is going to sort of back into one of these franchise guys. I don't know if they'll get the first pick. They got a shot. They'll probably get the second pick, because 2 wins, like, if Arizona is going to play Murray, which it seems like they are, they're probably going to get a second, maybe a third win. Carolina is probably going to luck into another win. Who knows? By the time people listen to this, maybe they have a second win. So the Giants are going to be right there for the first, if not like the second pick. They're right there.
Do you have a ticket on them for have the worst record in the league? I can't remember if you played that or not, or in the summer.
sore subject. I was actually doing a show during the summer and we were talking about who's a sleeper to get the first pick. And I suggested the Giants 30-1 and I got snickered at. I got mocked. I didn't bet it because Arizona started doing their tanking thing. And I was like, I did play a bunch of unders and all unders. I didn't play. I did not play worst record. There's still +330 out there. If you want to play it, you're probably looking at like a dead heat situation. I would imagine they tie somebody with two, but they're very live to get this. I think
their team total this weekend is 10.5. Is it like under. Two trying to take the under there? Like how they're not going to score. Tommy DeVito?
How are they scoring two touchdowns?
And the Cowboys, by the way, defensively, this is their jam, right? When they get up in a game like this, they rush front the runners, passer, yep. And they terrorize quarterbacks. Like they're super, like I would say 16.5, 17 right now for Dallas. Like I'm not going to bet it probably, but like they're going to win this game by a ton of points because they're front runners. Like this is what they do, right? They get up big and they steamroll teams once they get up big.
They beat them 40-0 in the opener.
And they even, yeah, but the thing about that game that I look back on and think, okay, special teams touchdown, defense a touchdown, like even if those two things don't happen, they would cover the spread of this weekend's game.
But here's the thing, I think was it Will just said, like Giants 40-0, Jets 30-10, Patriots 38-3, Rams 43-20. Like when they get a bad team down, like
rocket ship.
Anything 17 or under, you're laying, aren't you, Sammy?
I don't know. I probably won't get involved. I mean, I hate these big numbers. The problem is like the back door never really closes sometimes, you know, and it's 21-3 and they pull Dak and, you know, the offensive linemen are all sitting on the bench with towels around their heads and you're sweating -17 as the Giants come charging to the 30. And then they kick a field goal or something stupid and lose by 15. You know, I'll live that nightmare, man. I ain't doing that. It ain't happening.
Jeff, doesn't this feel like a Brian St. Pierre game? Remember, we've talked about this game in the past. I mean, sometimes you just get a quarterback who doesn't belong. A quarterback who shouldn't be in the NFL. This reminds me, if people don't remember, I think it was, 2010, you guys signed Brian St. Pierre 3 days before a game, and he threw a couple late pick sixes. This is a similar game with DeVito, where you don't want to be too harsh, but he probably doesn't belong on an NFL field, to be honest.
Do you know how many times I used to like hide under the covers when the announcer would go, "Here comes Josh McCown," I'd be like, "Oh shit, here he comes again!" Like that's the worst.
Giants, by the way, activated Matt Barkley to be the backup this weekend.
Did I see Jacob Eason is on a roster now too? Yes.
So like it's a Tommy DeVito, Matt Barkley Giants game on the road in Dallas.
All right, I need to go sports talk radio on here for a second because I want to get, and maybe Will and Sammy, you can chime in as well afterwards, but. Everyone talks about how awful the quarterback play is in the league. I want to know why. Why do we have guys that should be on an XFL roster, like on an NFL roster, seeing game time? Like, why does a quarterback play is terrible? And you hear about in the developmental stage, with the Elite 11 and all these quarterback camps and private quarterback coaches, quarterback play has never been better. It stinks. But why? Why are these quarterbacks so bad?
Well, the easy answer is obviously injuries, right? There's a lot of guys hurt, but also too, like the teams that have cycled out these older quarterbacks, these Hall of Fame type quarterbacks, have never really added anyone else. I mean, look, the Packers, Jordan Love is not that guy, right? Kenny Pickett's not that guy so far in Pittsburgh. So like some of these teams have had quarterbacks for so many years. You know, Daniel Jones is not Eli Manning. Like all these guys that have sort of cycled out have not been replaced by someone else. And so that's why, Bear, is that the quarterback play is guys are injured and the young players just haven't developed now.
I was going to say, is it something that's going on? Well,
there's less practice time. This is why, look, when the lack of development, especially for offensive linemen, is lack of practice time, right? We don't practice anymore. I'm not saying you have to go back to two-a-days, but you did get more reps. And if you were a young player, you got better because you got the more reps. Now guys are not practicing as much. They're not in the facility as much. I know I'm an old guy on my soapbox right now about this stuff, but that's part of it, right, Bears? You don't have the ability to practice as much anymore and get better with your teammates because you don't practice as often. So you either come in the NFL and you're really good right away, like CJ Stroud is, like, boom, he's good right now. We know he's good. Whatever happens the rest of his career, I think he's a good football player. And sometimes it just takes time to get things going with a guy like Bryce Young, but maybe Bryce Young is just not the dude. And so all those combinations together are leading us to a point where, the quarterback and even guys that are good, like Mahomes, is not playing as well this season. So I think everything's just sort of happened all this year.
My only observation would be we've had a lot of empty drafts. I mean, you think back to 2015, Mariota and Winston go 1-2. those guys aren't, you know, even starters. 2014 was what was Bortles, was Manziel, Bridgewater. Those are guys that would be coming into their prime. 2016, Goff and Wentz. Goff's okay. Wentz is, you know, just signed with the Rams. Even 2021, those guys, Lance, Fields, Wilson. That doesn't get to the why. I don't get the disconnect between the college. Maybe there's a disconnect between the college game and the NFL game. It's not getting to why, but a lot of whiffs in these drafts, which is like these guys would be coming into their prime right now, in their prime.
I think from a schematic perspective, like college to NFL, you know, like again with the practice stuff. So like in college, a lot of the time you're reading like just half a field, right? Like you just look to one side of the field. If a guy's there, you throw it. If not, you throw it away, or you run the ball, you RPO it. In the NFL, obviously you're doing full field reads. I think it's one reason why Stroud is so good at Ohio State. He sort of had to read the whole field in the offense at times. And like guys in college, they're being drafted off traits, not off production a lot of times. You get to the NFL and you have to like learn to read a real defense. And everyone has traits in the NFL. It's why they're in the NFL. And those physical tools you have don't overcome your lack of ability to read a defense. I think that's part of the quarterback issues right now.
That's the answer I want. And I heard Mike Pritchard actually give a similar type of answer on VSiN the other day about how the hashes, the wide splits in college as opposed to
it's NFL, so easy.
Having to do a lot to do with reading, running one side of the field. And
well, it's so easy because the hash, not, we'll get nerdy for a second if you guys want. Like the
yeah,
hash
yes,
marks,
yes.
Okay.
Talk so, dirty to me.
So the hash marks in college are obviously wider, right? So if you're on one hash and you have the entire field in front of you to the other side, the defense has to show its hand if it's going to move at all, right? Because the safety has got to get somewhere a long way to go to the middle of the field if he's on one hash, right? So guys, you show the defenses show much easier in college. In the NFL, with the hash is so close and the ball is much closer and everyone's much closer to each other, you can't, you know, you can disguise coverages. Like I got in college, I could be an offensive lineman and look at safeties and see like, oh, okay, well, that guy's way over here. They're bringing pressure from this side. In the NFL, it's much harder to see. And that's part of the reason why. And again, the one read thing is real in college. Like there are teams that just give their quarterbacks one read. I want you to read just this guy right here. And other schools are more complicated like that. And so I think that's a big reason why. Like that's, not to get draft weedy, but like Bo Nix, for example, at Oregon. I know he's older and blah, blah. They actually make him read the field. Like he has a pro-style passing game. Lamar Jackson had a pro-style passing. I think that's why like these guys from college to NFL are good. Like if you can have a pro-style passing game in college, it really helps you when you get to the NFL.
And I think that's part of the reason why moving forward, people are talking about maybe being a little more confident that J.J. McCarthy or Drake May pan out more than Caleb Williams. So we'll see. Two of those quarterbacks we mentioned, Jordan Love, Kenny Pickett, jury out. They face each other this week in Pittsburgh. Steelers seem to be a very popular pick, laying 3 here against Green Bay. Sammy, can you feel confident with that offense, as awful as Green Bay is, like, can you lay 3 with Steelers here?
Not only have they been outgained in every game, I mean, they've been outscored by 30 points. They have a minus 30 net, which is, I guess we just give Mike Tomlin his hat tip. I mean, the guy, again, has done an incredible job. And that defense, really, inside the red zone, that defense shuts almost everything down. I mean, teams can move the ball against Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh just doesn't allow you to break the goal line. So it's probably a game that I'd go under there, 39. I'm not laying 3 with Pittsburgh, but I don't love Green Bay. I was actually going to power rate the 3 games that I hate the most. That's probably number 1 with Green Bay and Pittsburgh. Number 2 is Minshew and Mac Jones in Germany. You think I'm betting on that? And then number 3 might be Derek Carr is a favorite against Josh Dobbs. I don't want to do it, Will. I don't want to do it with any of them.
Bear, there is a 3.5 in Connecticut, a book you and I tend to frequent. 3.5, it's juiced on the Packers. I'm tempted to take the 3.5. I have no appetite for laying points with this Steelers team. I mean, if they win, which they probably will, it'd probably be another 20-17 type of game. So plus 3.5, I know we talk about it all the time. Some of these bets that are the best ones to make, you just have to plug your nose, and they're not pretty. They're not fun to root for. But I don't know, plus 3.5 is probably going to end up in my account some point over the next couple of days. And if you do like the Steelers to win, however, though, to me, Tomlin 22-1 coach of the year is mispriced, because like Sammy said, he's almost the star of the team. You talk about the Steelers, the first thing people say is, oh, Tomlin, look at the great job he's done. He's never won this award. So there's a lifetime achievement award possibility here. And I don't know if anyone's run away with this award. Campbell's the favorite. I guess he's the rightful favorite. But again, they were minus money to win the division. That's usually not how you win this award. You usually win this award by overachieving, the Brian Daboll, you know, getting something out of nothing. So if they sneak into the playoffs and they're plus 140 to make the playoffs, to me, you don't bet him plus 140 to make the playoffs. You take Tomlin 22-1 coach of the year. I think he's very live to win this award. I think this number will be, if they win, this number will be 10-1, 8-1, maybe shorter this time next week.
Jeff, you're nodding.
Yeah, I think that that's the way to play this game. But can I offer one other ugly game, guys? I think you sort of, I feel like we have to fade the Raiders this week, but they're playing the Jets, and that's a huge problem for me. Like, the Raiders, this new coach bounces great and all, but they're still not good, right? Like, we agree on that. I mean, the Jets aren't very good either, but you have to fade the Raiders this week in an ugly game. Am I wrong?
I thought this was going to for sure make be Sammy's power rankings of games, the ugliest games of the week.
Me too.
I'll be on the Jets.
You have to fade the Raiders.
I have no fear. No, yeah. I'm on the Jets here. I took Jets.
Okay. Okay, good. I feel better about it. I'm going to take them this week for my contest. Like, I'm fading the Raiders. I wish they played a better team to fade, but I'm fading that new coach bounce. We saw it last year with Jeff Saturday, right? I think Pierce has done more coaching than Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
He's coached more. So I do give him credit for that. Jeff Saturday was where we were doing. And then the next day he was the Colts coach. Pierce has been in buildings coaching for a long time now. But they're still not a good football team, and they had this massive win. They're treating like this win in the locker room like they just won the Super Bowl. Cigars party, which I love. It's great they did that. But, you know, now you're playing a Jets defense that's very good, obviously. Unfortunately, their offense is tough to watch, but this feels like a prime spot to fade a Raiders team off that new coach bounce.
Yeah, in the year of our Lord 2023, we have a coach saying that the heartbeat of our team is running the football. We're like, what? What are you talking about? This is a throwing league where guys like Allen and Mahomes and Burrow and Hurts and even Lamar Jackson is passing more. And I think it was a great win. Clearly, the team sort of rallied around Antonio Pierce. It's like the old Patrick Ewing theory, Bear. When you lose a big piece or you lose something, you lose a coach gets fired. That team somehow finds a way. But, I mean, the Jets are still power rated much higher to me than the Raiders. It's just that perception thing. The Jets looked horrible on Monday Night Football, and nobody wants to go. That's the last game we watched in the NFL. Well, not counting Thursday night, of course, between the Bears and Panthers. But the Jets are going to be the really smelly team that a lot of wise guys will bet. So I'm just – that's the way it is.
And as bad as the Jets were on Sunday night – go ahead. You look sorry. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, remember last year, Jeff Saturday takes over for the Colts. They win a game. Oh, man, it's a different approach. This is going to work. And I don't think they won another game. So it would be Jets or nothing. I think their defense is probably the best unit of the four units. But twice in 6 days, we get Zach Wilson in primetime. If you guys want to troll Bear, if you want to get under his skin, just tweet at him that, hey, Zach Wilson's looking good. That was a good throw. He's starting to turn the corner because nothing gets Bear more fired up than Zach Wilson praise. It's just one of his little pet peeves. So you guys just tweet
at him. I actually felt bad. I felt bad for him on Monday night, right? It didn't matter who was that offensive line was so bad. Like he had no chance. I'm like, he's not good, but that was not all on him on Monday night. But I mean, how as bad as the Jets were, the Chargers were probably worse. Oh. Like their offense was inept, and here I am, I'm taking three at home against the Lions, and it.
Yeah, the Chargers are to me. They just need a new.
Everything.
I don't know who the coach is going to be next year. I don't think it can be Staley. Even the playoffs, they're just stale right now, right? Everything about the program, the franchise, it just feels stale. I don't know what the answer is. Maybe it's Jim Harbaugh, and you bring him in, you kind of obviously get tougher, revamp the offense. We see what Harbaugh has done to quarterbacks over his career. But you got a new approach. It's working. You're winning because you have a lot of good football players, but you're not winning the way you should be winning with the players you have. And so, you know, this weekend, as you mentioned, the Chargers, I mean, look, the Lions off a bye, Chargers on a short week. I like the Lions to cover the first half, I think, but I think the Chargers getting 3 points. I mean, I guess. I just, wagering on the Chargers to me always, I can't stomach it sometimes, Bear.
But Sammy, they've actually had, I think, three straight weeks now where the game has been decided well before the final 2 minutes of the game. So I think we're due for one of those, like, field goal nail biters at the end of the game, right? Get back to Chargers football.
This will be 28-27 either way. I'm going to call my shot right now. This is going to be one of those games. But I think, you know, we knock Staley all the time. I'm watching. And again, I have Jets plus three on Monday. And they're up 11, Los Angeles. There's like a minute left to go. All you do is run the ball, go to the halftime, up 14-3. They're throwing the ball on first and second down. And then I think they threw it on third down. So then you give the Jets the ball back with a minute to go. Now, granted, it worked out because the Jets were horrible. But, like, nobody does that. You go to the lead. You don't want to give the home team any momentum. You go to the locker room up 14-3. And this idiot is throwing the ball with a minute to go. The Jets got the ball back with, like, 50 seconds and two timeouts. They didn't do anything with it. But that's such bad coaching, guys. It's so bad.
No, but, accused him of being a good coach.
No, definitely not. What games haven't we on here?
Are the Browns, is 6 points too much for the Ravens to be favored over the Browns? The Browns are a good football team. So is Baltimore. Offense, I get it.
Losing Wills this week hurts their offensive line big time.
But six feels like a lot, doesn't it? For a defense that's good and a run game that the Browns can run the ball.
It does, but I don't know if I want to get in front of this Ravens train right now, Will. Do you?
No, it would be Ravens or nothing. I think I'm actually going to bet the Ravens. I still don't believe in Watson is still one of the bigger stories in the league. Like this idea, oh, he's rusty. It's the time off. It's just always something. I know they won last week. The numbers were okay. He still does not look like the same player. And if you're going to put him outdoors against a good defense, to me, I think the Ravens are going to win this game and win them comfortably. I know some of like the DVOA stats, some of the advanced stuff, love this Ravens team. They could you know, easily be undefeated right now. Their losses were sort of fluky. So I kind of like the Ravens here.
DVOA, I think, has the Ravens like the third best DVOA through nine weeks, like some right. insane number, which, by the way, you know, DVOA is, and I love them, obviously, they've had the Ravens high for years now, right? I mean, they've had some incredible starts where they put the Ravens super high, and then obviously as more games get played, they kind of come back down to earth. But yeah, Baltimore's playing great football. There's no doubt about it. And I'm not taking the points with Browns. I was just curious about your opinion on this game.
The one game where I think it might be too many this week is Houston Cincinnati. I
know you're gonna
you could talk me into taking Houston plus seven, especially if Higgins and Chaser, I guess, haven't been practicing.
No, they haven't.
Like at some point the Bengals are gonna have a game where they just kind of go through the motions, and maybe after the last couple of weeks where they've been facing opponents that they've absolutely wanted to the big game against the Bills, like this feels like a spot where maybe taking the seven with the Houston offense and the CJ Stroud, rookie of the year. And you mentioned Tomlin for coach of the year. Like D'Amico Ryans, I think, would be someone as well and to maybe be coach of the year. But I think, Will, as you said as well in that text, like they probably have to make the playoffs in order for him to win it. Sammy, can you get behind Houston plus seven, or do you have a feel on the total in this game?
I was actually going to say, take that seven now, buddy, because it's coming off. You know, there's a lot of 6.5 now in the market. There's a lot of sharp respect for Houston. You know, I'm looking 6.5 at a lot of shops offshore, 6.5. There's a couple sevens left, but this opened 8.5. So we've clearly seen the respect on the Texan side of things. I'd probably lay 6.5 though, just because I feel like seven is fair. Like I wouldn't lay seven. I will say this is going to be one of the toughest weeks. You know, a lot of us are in these contests. We need five picks ATS. Mm. I'm at like 2.5 out of 5. So I got to find 2.5 more. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And I haven't had many weeks like this. I know I'm going to play the Jets. I'm probably going to play the Chargers plus three. And then from there, it's like, God, there Vikings? Are so many point flip. No, not happening. This is one of the worst weeks. One of the worst weeks.
Car on the road?
Five. No, no. Nah.
I was just going to say, this is such a trap spot. You hinted at it. They beat the Bills last week. They play at Baltimore next Thursday night. So this is a sandwich spot. Ooh. Boy, that's a hell of a Thursday night game in Baltimore next week. So this has all the makings of a, you know, close game late and a little bit of a letdown spot here for Cincy.
Yeah, this is – I didn't even realize that. And I'm glad you mentioned that about the short week and the big game next week.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Any other games out there that we want to get, whether a future play, anything with any of these games?
I think we covered it from my end. No, I mean, good teaser week. If you're into the teasing, a lot of these 1.5, 2.5 games, you don't want to just pick who's going to win. And like, it's sometimes it's a little mechanical, a little boring to give out in terms of content. These two team teasers, I don't know how many people play them, but I don't know how you feel, Sammy. To me, that's the best way to play these games sometime in this league, where the games are close, the games are low scoring, and you go up to 7.5, you go up to 8.5 with these dogs. And that's just that's a good approach, I think.
Yeah, I think maybe the perfect teaser leg for me, I'll speak for myself. I'm not going to say it's perfect for everybody, but I think the one game we haven't talked about is Monday night. That's Buffalo at home as a 7.5-point favorite. You tease piece that thing down to 1.5. I feel like we all have to understand that Buffalo eventually is going to beat somebody 45-10. Like, it's going to happen eventually. They are just – they are so weird right now. They have the talent. We know that they have a quarterback who has potential. There's that 45-10 game coming for them. I'm not saying they're going to win the AFC or the Super Bowl, but they're going to ragdoll some bad team, and it might be Monday. But to your point, I'd rather put them down to 1.5 than lay 7.5. But that might, you know what? I think I just talked myself into Buffalo. Look at that. I'm at 3.5.
I mean, you could always do the route where you just fade people that you see on the internet post their picks this weekend. That's one of my favorite things to do. I just look and say, oh, I'm not on much this weekend, but someone else is on a lot. I'll take the other side and hope for the best. That's a good way to go, right, guys?
You fade my college football mush, picks this year.
Good mush is sometimes better than a good sharp. Like, good mush is completely underrated.
What's the technique? It's like in karate when you use somebody's body weight against themselves. I like that approach. That's a good one, Jeff.
knowing who to bet against or avoid, I think is even more valuable. Like there's certain people out there. Like if I see someone on, I will want no part of. No, I'm not going to do that because, like I said, my college football picks have sucked this year in the column. So I mean, hopefully people are fading me there, and they'd be up a pretty good chunk, but. I mean, the bartender, for instance, I see him on a game I want. Maybe I won't necessarily play the opposite side of who the bartender's got, but I sure as hell won't play the team the bartender has. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think the new poll question is it harder to win 35% or 65%? I don't know. I don't know which one's harder.
Well, I know something that I feel very passionate about here, and it's kind of been sticking in my craw. Like, People magazine this week named Jason Kelce one of the more sexiest men alive.
Yeah, good.
I don't know where People magazine has been in the past, but there's another former offensive lineman here that I think they really missed the opportunity for to name. I mean, who wouldn't want that hunk right there wearing 76 on the left side of that?
Oh, I like that.
I mean, that is.
You chose a good picture of me, too. I mean,
That is just a beautiful man on that side.
I mean, Will's going to vote for me because I'm in a Vikings uniform. I think we're at Seattle in that game. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
What year was that?
I mean, I'm good. 2012. I am good looking. I'm not going to lie.
You are.
How do you know what game that is?
Because I have that picture at home, I think, on my phone or something. Because that's a picture like that's on the internet. So I just saved it. There's not a lot of pictures of me. So I just saved the picture. I mean, it's pretty good looking.
You got a guy like Zach Wilson.
Was that a Christian Ponder game?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, and we rushed. Adrian Peterson had like 250 yards that game. First play of the game, he rushed for like 78 yards. So 75 yards, something like that. It's crazy. And Sammy laughs at me when I remember all this NFL stuff. I remember certain plays. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
In Seattle.
Yeah.
Did you win?
No. I've never won. I'm 0-3 in Seattle, I want to say. Seattle's a hard place to play, man. It's loud there.
To
be fair, it's a nondescript picture of you looking up into the sky, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's in Seattle. Like, how do you know that's in Seattle?
Because I have that picture on my phone. That's why I know what game it's from. That's why it's on my Facebook or something.
People magazine missed the opportunity.
They did miss the opportunity, yeah. How about Kelce, though? What a come up for him. He just was a center 2 years ago. Now he's like a world famous offensive lineman.
I sense like this little rivalry going here. You got Travis Kelce there. You got Taylor Swift as well.
Yeah.
And like, I want a battle royale. I don't want thing. I will take Mitch and Jeff Schwartz in a cooking show over yes. the Kelce brothers for sure.
My brother would win that show. I've asked my brother for years for a podcast. He will not do it. So we've tried my best. I've tried to get him on a podcast. I've tried being like, dude, we're going to have a good podcast. I'm telling you, he just won't do it with me. I've tried. Try my best.
We gave you a podcast.
I love it. Yeah. It's much better than doing one about cooking with my brother.
Can we get a battle royale? With
yeah, let's do it. Let's
tag team? Kelce's versus Schwartz?
In a cooking battle or just a
no, just to get squared circle. Gorilla Monsoon style.
Let's do it.
Wrestling tights, singlets.
I'm in.
Beautiful.
But Taylor has to be there. Otherwise, my wife won't show up.
but she does know Brittany. She does know Brittany Mahomes' first name though. Now, right?
Yes, she knows. She knows Patrick's wife's first name only because of that reason. Yeah, because Taylor Swift.
Did we find out? Was she in London this week?
I don't care. Germany? Is it Germany? It doesn't bother.
Look, yeah, it was Germany. Right, yeah.
Sammy's so tuned out. He doesn't even have any. He has no dog in this fight. Will at least has daughters that are like Taylor Swift. So he knows the battle at least.
I was actually making a price on the Schwartzes and the Kelces in my head. I've seen Jeff. Like Jeff could hold me in his hand, and I'm 6'2", 220. Jeff could pick me up with his hand. So I'm going to say Schwartz is minus $1.60.
I like it.
Yeah, because I think the Schwartz would probably get a little, now that they're both retired and out of the league, I think they might get a little dirty in there, maybe some elbows and some fingers in the eyes and stuff, whereas I think there's still a little bit of sense of professionalism with the Kelces being that they're both still playing there.
I like that. I like that angle.
You like that handicap?
And we'd have to win early because we're way out of shape, Mitch and I. They would be better shape than us. So we have to go under. Dirty, fast. Yeah, one round max.
Under one.
Under one,
there
yes.
we go. I think that's the best handicap we're going to get all week. All right, guys. Hopefully we can have a good week in the NFL on what appears to be a particularly gross week of games. Until next week, talk soon. I don't care what People Magazine says. You are a sex symbol.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah.
I mean,
I exude sexiness. I understand. Yeah. It's hard for you to even to verbalize.
I was going to say, for me to be able to come in here every Thursday and just spend time with you, I feel.
I was a little bit worried sharing that picture of myself in the Arby's meat suit with the rest of the group last week because I just figured it might get everyone jealous and like, you know, and I hope it did. I hope it did that.
You need to wear that for Halloween every year from here.
Oh, it's gonna be a favorite. It's super comfortable, by the way. Oh my god, it's so comfortable. I did not expect that.
Sit by the campfire.
Oh, it's great.
Fireplace.
It is one of those like great like campfire outfits. Yeah,
it's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the food.
Yeah,
it's good. You mentioned DPOY earlier in the show, and that was one of the awards we didn't get to with Will and Sam. Like. It's Parsons or Myles Garrett, right?
Yeah, it's a three-man race according to the odds, right? It's Parsons, Garrett, and Watts a little bit behind them. I see some love for Max Crosby recently. That's a no.
He's a good player, but the Raiders are going to be 5-12. There's no way the Defensive Player of the Year award is going to go to a team that's 5-12.
I think it's going to be Myles Garrett is my guess.
I hope so. I got him at +550 earlier in the year. I hope so.
You know, I just think that his ability to—he's the best player on the field each week, right? Parsons. Do you feel the way about Parsons each week? I don't always feel that same way. But again, we're talking about this before they play the Giants. They'll have like four sacks this weekend.
That makes
me feel stupid. But Myles Garrett's going to play in bigger games down the stretch too in that division, so he'll get more highlight on what he's doing. But he's had an incredible season, man. I think he is. He's in there. I will tell you, next season, guys, just bookmark this. There's an inefficiency in the sack props before the season. Most of them sit like 13.5. I took them all over. I took Parsons over, Watt over, Garrett over. Like, they're not a good. I took Bose over again. They do not set them high enough. These guys have 16 sacks a year if they're good.
I like it.
And they don't set the market well.
I missed that note preseason.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's something I take each year, and I feel like it's, you know, obviously you're hoping someone gets hurt, but 13.5 sacks is not a lot for these top end pass rushers. They're getting 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 sacks. So
especially now with 17 games.
Yeah. So I like Garrett in this instance.
Well, one of the games that Michael Parsons will be playing in that is not one of the bigger games for the rest of the season, but it's a game where I think he's going to have a bunch of sacks is this week against the Giants, and that like, if you're still alive in your survivor contest, congratulations. Good luck the rest of the way. It's cut and dry this week. Like if you have Dallas, yep. and you don't need to save a team for Thanksgiving. Like you're using Dallas this week. Like
I use Dallas, yeah.
And it also now opens up an opportunity to bet, as I was talking with Will, like betting against the Giants and Survivor every single week. Because they're not good. With Tommy DeVito at quarterback, like they have zero chance of scoring point. You probably can't set team totals low enough with the Giants. So if you got the Cowboys, it's easy.
Yeah, I played the Cowboys. I just made it easy for myself this week and be done with it. Would you play the Bengals against the Texans?
No, I would not. We kind of hit on that. Like, I like the Texans plus the points this week. Not fully there yet in terms of making them an official pick, but if I had to play them, I would. The Bengals, you mentioned, had those injuries. So, like, maybe they're coming off of the game last week. They have a little bit of a letdown. Seattle, I wouldn't trust. I said at all. I like Washington. So, like, if you don't have Dallas and you want to take my advice on being careful with those other two common favorites, that leaves two options for the coin flippers in, like, a coin flippiest of weeks. You got the Falcons. Against Kyler Murray.
Absolutely not.
And the Cardinals. Or team bad B option, Steelers in their Houdini act against the Packers.
Nope, not doing that.
But what if you don't? So if you don't have Dallas, but if you don't have Dallas and you don't have Cincinnati and you don't have Seattle,
probably Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh
or Buffalo hosting the Broncos.
I'm assuming people use Buffalo as well by now.
Probably Pittsburgh, yeah.
But if you haven't used Buffalo, that would probably be logical as well.
Probably Pittsburgh, I think, right? Yeah. And it has to be Pittsburgh. That's where I was Survivor. Let's recap Bears two wagers before we get to our best bets and Fox Super Six. You have the Chargers plus +3 hosting the Lions, and you have the Commanders on the road getting 6.5 against the Seahawks. Bear, our best bets this week are first. We're against each other this week, buddy.
Oh, we're giving it opposite sides. Yes. Guarantee one set of phone 900 numbers wins.
Well, it means the game's gonna land on 3. The Niners are gonna win by 3.
Exactly. Perfect.
So you go first. Make your case.
Yeah, I think the Niners needed that week off after the 3-game losing streak. Trent Williams is out again, but they do get Debo back, and I think hopefully I'm banking on the Chase Young acquisition helping that defensive front. With Wilkes now being moved to the field, I think that's that could be a factor. They're changing things up. I think this is still the most talented team in the NFC, even though the record now is behind the Eagles. I know Jacksonville has won 5 straight, but this is a big step up in competition from what they faced. I know the pass rush and the defense has been lacking lately for the Niners, but I'm hoping that my faith in this team will be restored. So I did indeed lay the 3.
I like Jacksonville plus +3. Obviously, yes, we're on the other side of this. I think Jacksonville is one of those teams that we forget about because they play in the South. And I think at times
in Europe.
And they're off a bye as well. So is the Niners. And they just win a ton of football games recently. They've won, I think, in the last 20 games, they've lost 5 and 3 have been to Kansas City. One was to Houston this year. Like we forget about them because they're in a region of the country that we associate with college football. They have a good offensive line. Now, there will be, you know, Niners defensive line is good, but the Niners defensive line has not played as well as last season. Trevor Lawrence is really good. They have weapons. They're rested. They're off a bye defensively. They're just solid, right? They play good, solid defense. And I think when you give a Doug Peterson a bye over his career, he's gotten rest. He's covered the spread. And so
I like the fact that both these teams are coming in off of a bye.
The NFL is doing that this year. They're having teams, a lot of teams like we will talk about this game. I know next week, Chiefs and Eagles, they're all both off a bye too. So you get this kind of heavyweight matchups between two teams off a bye. It makes it fair, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, both teams off a bye. All right, guys, it's not too late to play the free Fox Super 6 game for week 10. Just download the Fox Sports app right now and make your picks for a chance to win your share of $10,000 in weekly cash prizes.
Make sure you check out FoxSports.com. The article will be up or probably maybe is up already by now by the time this podcast drops on Friday. Yeah, so free money. What's wrong with taking a free stab at free money?
Nothing
at all. So make sure you download that app and make your picks.
Do you have a favorite place to eat in State College where you'd be this weekend? I'm sure you've been there a lot.
I've been there a bunch. Not as many times as you think. I think Allen Street Grill is a place that we've gone to in the past.
I'm trying to get you some free food and merch right now.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Usually, you see, what happened a lot of times here when we go to State College is that the hotel situations, like Tufts, a lot of times, like we'll have rented out houses. That's not the case this week. But in the past, like group of guys, we just get together and they'd go out to the grocery store, go grill, fire up the grill and watch a game. So we would do that a lot in State College.
But
I think Allen Street Grill might've been the name of the place that we went to.
Give them some free food, everybody.
We'll try. State College is one of those places. Once you get there, it's great. It's just one of the harder places to get to. But I did have a flight not right into State College, so I'm happy.
I had a little personal beef with like the whole talk about Oregon was too rural, like Eugene was too rural to play in the Big Ten. I'm like, well, have you seen State College? Have you like ever tried to go there to before?
Champaign, Illinois.
Yeah. Never.
West Coast bias.
Yeah, East Coast bias.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever it was. Some bias.
Exactly.
No bias here because we give out winners.
Exactly. And you have NFL, we've done okay.
Yeah.
College, different story.
Yeah.
So hopefully we got, well, let's see. Well, we're guaranteed to have at least one winner between us.
No, it ends three.
Exactly. It could end three. Maybe that would be an appropriate finish for that game. So if that ends three, we're on to something. All right. We know it's one of those years. So it's another one in the books for Will, for Sammy, for Jeff. I'm Bear. Appreciate you listening again, watching, downloading, rating, reviewing, subscribing, checking us out on that YouTube page as well. If you want to see the sexiest man alive here next to me, Jeff Schwartz. Until next week, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.